صباح الخير. عناوين اليوم: إطلاق يوتيوب شورتس في 100 بلد قريباً، مصرف الإمارات المركزي يقرر إصدار عملة رقمية، وموقع أمازون يستعيد خدماته بعد عطل مفاجئ في معظم أنحاء العالم، وأمازون بيراقبك أثناء النوم. يا صباح الخير وأهلا وسهلا فيكم في برنامجكم صباحكم مع سماشي، معكم أنا هالة، ومعنا بخلف الكواليس مثل العادة علي.
صباح الخير يا جماعة الخير،
كيفنا اليوم علي؟
الحمد لله تمام.
خلينا نبدا اخبار اليوم ونحكي لهم عن يوتيوب شورتس. طبعا هي الميزه اللي هي ميزه مشابهه لفيديوهات تيك توك، يعني ظهر تيك توك كسر الدنيا. عدد التحميلات لتطبيق تيك توك كانت فعلا خطيرة جدا بالفترة الأخيرة، وكان بالرقم واحد لفترة طويلة جدا أيضا. لذلك شفنا إنستغرام عملوا إنستغرام ريل، سناب شات عملوا سبوتلايت، والآن يوتيوب عم يعمل يوتيوب شورتس. أعلنت منصة يوتيوب عن إطلاق نسخة تجريبية من ميزة الفيديوهات القصيرة اللي هي اسمها يوتيوب شورتس، تحديدا في دولة الإمارات العربية المتحدة، وهي تجربة جديدة بتتيح للمستخدمين تصوير فيديوهات قصيرة لافتة راح تكون باستخدام هواتفهم الجوالة. وكانت يوتيوب قد أعلنت عن هذه المنصة للمرة الأولى في شهر سبتمبر أيلول 2020، ووسعت انتشارها منذ ذلك الحين إلى 26 دولة، ولكن ستكون متاحة الآن في أكثر من 100 بلد بتتوفر في منصة يوتيوب الأساسية، طبعا من بينها بلدان في منطقة الشرق الأوسط وشمال أفريقيا. وفي حين كانت يوتيوب بتتيح مشاهدات الفيديو القصيرة اللي صنعت من خلال هذه الميزة الجديدة عبر منصتها، سيتمكن الآن المستخدمون حول العالم وللمرة الأولى من الحصول على أدوات لإنشاء هذه الفيديوهات القصيرة، واللي بتشمل كاميرا متعددة الأجزاء لربط عدة مقاطع من الفيديو معا، بالإضافة طبعا إلى ميزات أخرى مثل التسجيل مع موسيقى تصويرية، التحكم في سرعة العرض، وغيرها من الميزات الأخرى. مثل ما شفنا أنه فعلا ميزة اللي مشابهة لفيديوهات تيك توك هي الفيديوهات القصيرة، تغييرات بالخلفية، أو حتى إنكم تضيفوا باك جراوند ميوزك للفيديوهات، انتشرت بشكل واسع وكبير. حتى الريلز على الإنستغرام عم بيكون عليها فعلا إكسبوجر عالي جدا، والناس عم تتفاعل معها بشكل أكثر، يمكن لأنه الناس وصلت لمرحلة انه عم بتصاب بالملل من الفيديوهات الطويلة. فهي الفيديوهات القصيرة عم بيكون فيها مثلا فيديوهات تعليمية، فيديوهات مسلية مضحكة وغيرها، والناس فعلا صارت عم تتبعها، وحتى الشركات عم تتبعها لاستراتيجية لا تروج لكثير من الامور. في العديد من الشركات المتعلقة بالعقارات عم بتروج للعقارات مثلا والبزنس تبعها والشركات على تيك توك مثلا، فممكن نشوف هذا الآن على يوتيوب من خلال ميزة يوتيوب شورتس. ومثل ما بنعرف انه يوتيوب الفيديو تبعه دائما بشكل افقي، ولكن الآن يوتيوب شورتس رح تدعم ميزة الفيديوهات العمودية، فبالتالي ممكن تصوروها بالموبايل تبعكم وتتفرجوا عليها بسهولة اكثر. علي، هل انت من محبي مثلا الفيديوهات القصيرة مثل ريلز تيك توك وهلا مثلا يوتيوب شورتس، أم مثلا ممكن تحضر الفيديوهات الأطول على يوتيوب أو حتى الاي جي تي في على الانستغرام؟
أنا في يعني opinion إن الشورت والشورت فورم كونتنت هو المستقبل،
يفوز فعلا.
يعني هو يعني مستقبل السوشيال ميديا اللي أنا أشوفه يعني عقب 5-6 سنوات. شورت يعني شورت فورم 30 seconds الى دقيقه، دقيقتين يمكن ماكس 3 دقائق فقط.
وحلو عم بيصير في ابداع بهذه النوع من الفيديوهات، يعني فعلا انت مجبر انك تكون مبدع، لانه انت غالبا ما رح تكون فقط جالس امام الكاميرا وعم تحكي، لا، اضافه باك جراوند ميوزك مثلا، خلفيه موسيقيه، او حتى تغيروا الخلفيه تبعكم، اضافه التكست على الفيديو، وطريقه التعديل عم بتكون سريعه ايضا جدا، فعم بتساعد الاشخاص حتى اللي ما بيستخدموا المونتاج بالفيديوهات تبعهم إنه يكون عندهم قدرة إنه يبدعوا بهذه الفيديوهات. وأنا شخصياً بصراحة عجبتني كتير، وبتوقع إنه يكون إلها صدى واسع على يوتيوب. ولكن بدنا نسأل سؤال: مين رح يفوز، تيك توك ولا ريلز على إنستغرام ولا يوتيوب شورتس ولا سناب شات سبوتلايت؟ شو بتقول؟
تيك توك.
والله.
إيه. أحس تيك توك لأنه هم منصاتهم خاص لهالشيء، يعني مثل ما سناب شات قبل ستوريز
الستوريز ولا شيء.
اي بس ميزه الستوريز يعني عقب
يعني خفت صارت على انستغرام
انستغرام فشوي شوي اواد نروح على انستغرام وخفوا شوي من سناب شات. بس من ناحيه تيك توك انا اشوف تيك توك
مستمر
اي بيكونون هم الفرنت رانرز هم يعني اللي قدام.
انتم خبرونا شاركونا رايكم مين تتوقعوا فعلا يكون له صدى واسع واكثر شهره واكثر استخداما طبعا، هل هو اليوتيوب شورتس ام الفيديوهات القصيره على تيك توك ام الانستغرام ريلز مثلا او حتى الناس اللي بتابع سناب شات سبوتلايت. بالمناسبه طبعا تيك توك اضافت ميزه 3 دقائق للفيديوهات لجميع المستخدمين، فايضا تيك توك عم بتيح ميزة انه تكون في مجال للفيديوهات الطويلة، هذا بيعني انه لسه في طلب على الفيديوهات الطويلة ايضا صح؟
وخاصة شفنا لايف ستريمز والاشياء على تيك توك
تماما
رايحين على مجال الصح يعني.
صحيح. خلونا ننتقل لتاني خبر معنا لليوم ونحكي عن العملات الرقمية. اعلن مصرف الامارات المركزي عن استراتيجية 2023 الى 2026 اللي بيسعى من خلالها لكي يكون من افضل 10 مصارف مركزية في العالم، وطالب المصرف من شركائه بتزويد توقعاتهم بشأن الاحتياجات المستقبلية من المصرف. طبعا تتضمن التوجهات الاستراتيجية للمصرف المركزي في دولة الإمارات خلال السنوات المقبلة كما تم الإعلان عنها على موقع الإلكتروني 7 أهداف. هلا خلونا نحكي عن أهم هدف والهدف اللي بخصنا يمكن على سماشي تي في بشكل كتير كبير وأنتوا كأفراد، اللي هو إصدار عملة رقمية ودعم التحول الرقمي في قطاع الخدمات المالية في دولة الإمارات، وذلك من خلال اتباع أحدث التكنولوجيات في الذكاء الاصطناعي، البيانات الضخمة أيضا والمهمة جدا، وفعلا هذا قطاع هو قطاع المستقبل مثل ما عم نشوف. كما عم تشمل أيضا الاستراتيجية استخدام التكنولوجيا والأنظمة الرقابية وحتى أنظمة التأمين، وذلك بالإضافة إلى استخدام بنية تحتية للهوية الرقمية لتعزيز الشمول المالي والوصول إلى الخدمات المالية بشكل أسرع وأفضل. وهي من الأمور المهمة جدا مثل ما عم نشوف بحكومة دولة الإمارات، إنه كل تقريبا يعني المنظمات وحتى المؤسسات عم تتجه نحو الحكومات اللاورقية وعم يتجهوا إلى الرقمنة لأنها المستقبل، ولكن الآن عم نشوف أنه رح يتم يعني في عملة رقمية من دولة الإمارات، وهذا أيضا يدعم قطاع العملات الرقمية بشكل كبير جدا. وفي الحديث خلونا ننتقل على التكنولوجيا وإلى عملاقة التكنولوجيا أمازون. قالت شركة أمازون أنه متاجرها الإلكترونية عادت إلى خدماتها الطبيعية بعد ما تسبب انقطاع عالمي في تعطيل التسوق في موقعها المحلي. مثل ما منشوف يمكن في ناس انتبهت، والناس تحديدا اللي بتضل على امازون، يوم امس فعلا كان في عطل عالمي بموقع امازون وتعطلت مواقع امازون لمدة 2 ساعة تقريبا. في ذروة الانقطاع اشار اكثر من 38 الف تقرير ابلاغ من المستخدمين الى وجود مشكلات في متاجر امازون عبر الانترنت. ووقعت المشكلة مساء تقريبا يوم الأحد في الولايات المتحدة الأمريكية وصباح يوم الاثنين في معظم أنحاء العالم. قال متحدث باسم أمازون أنه ربما واجه بعض العملاء مشكلات مؤقتة أثناء التسوق، ولكن حلوا المشكلة وكل شيء الآن عم بيصير بسلاسة لكل الناس اللي حابة تعمل شوبينج على أمازون. ولكن ما تحدثوا أبدا عن سبب انقطاع وهذا الخلل التقني في أمازون. يعد طبعا هذا ثاني أوسع اضطراب في خدمة أمازون منذ أواخر يونيو عندما عانى المستخدمون من انقطاع قصير الأمد في منصاتها، بما في ذلك أيضا أليكسا وأيضا برايم فيديو قبل استعادة الخدمات. بالحديث عن أمازون، ولكن حبي أحكيكم على ميزة جديدة عم تشتغل عليها أمازون. أمازون الآن بدها تراقبك حتى أثناء نومك باستخدام الرادار. طيب شو القصة؟ طلبت شركة أمازون في 22 يونيو من لجنة الاتصالات الفيدرالية FCC اللي بتنظم استخدامات تردد الطيف الإذن بتسويق جهاز بيستخدم الرادار لمراقبة نومك. وقد حصلت أمازون يوم الجمعة على الإذن لاستخدام رادار يمكن متابعة النوم عن بعد. طيب شو الهدف من هذا الموضوع؟ الهدف طبعا مصلحتك، والتقنية بحسب أمازون يمكنها مساعدة الأشخاص لتحسين جودة النوم، والتي ستعني فوائد صحية كبرى للجميع. ويمكن لهذه التقنية أيضا بالذات مساعدة الأشخاص اللي بيعانوا من مشاكل في الحركة، الكلام، اللمس أثناء النوم، لإمكانيتها طبعا من مراقبة حركة النوم بدرجة عالية جدا من الدقة. طب خلونا نحكي عن الصورة الأكبر أو البيجر بيكتشر مثل ما بيقولوا. القطاع الصحي هو فعلا الآن حلبة للتنافس الأهم لمستقبل شركات التقنية، وأصدرت أمازون أساور من قبل، ودخلت أبل مزايا صحية مهمة على ساعاتها، ومنها قياس درجة الأكسجين في الدم. مثل ما عم نشوف حتى الشركات التكنولوجية عم تدخل في مجال القطاع الصحي اللي فعلا عليه منافسة كبيرة جدا. أنا شخصيا برأيي هي ميزة جميلة من أمازون، حلوة إنه الواحد اللي بيحب ممكن يراقب نومه، سواء كان يعالج مشاكل مثل الشخير، الكلام أثناء النوم، أو حتى اللمس، الحركة وغيرها. علي فضايح تايم، بتعاني من أي من هاي المشاكل؟
لا الحمد لله لا لا، أنا أنام يعني أول ما أحط رأسي أنام.
يعني لا حركة، ما بتحكي ولا شيء؟
لا لا ما عندي، أنا مو كائن فضائي. لا
ليش مو كائن فضائي؟ كتير في ناس على فكرة، وهذا موش
اختي من ضمن
طيب مو كائن فضائي، كتير في ناس بيمشوا هني ونايمين، في ناس فعليا مشكلة يعني بصراحة. وغير طبعا موضوع الشخير، في ناس على أسنانهم، عرفت كيف؟ كتير حتى بيفيقوا تاني يوم بتكون يعني أسنانهم عم بيوجعون. فكل هاي الأمور مثل هاي الميزة من أمازون بتساعدكم على مراقبة هذه المشاكل، وبالتالي حلها لأنه ممكن ما نكون منتبهين عليها. مقابلتنا لليوم مع دكتور بيجان أزاد، مدير مركز دروزة لإدارة الابتكار وريادة الأعمال. بعد الفاصل خليكم معنا ولا تروحوا لبعيد. ورجعناكم من جديد، ومعنا ضيفنا لليوم دكتور بيجان أزاد، المدير لسنتر دروزة. دكتور بيجان أزاد، دايركتور اوف دروزة سنتر، ويلكم تو اور شو.
ثانك يو فيري ماتش هلا.
So as a start, we would like to know more about the center. Can you tell us more about دروزة center? What do you guys offer and what do you guys do?
First, let me thank you for having me on Smashy TV. I really appreciate the opportunity to explain what we do, and particularly for the youth. I think it's important for people to hear what we have to say. So I think a little bit of background is useful, how the center came about. It's the namesake is from Samih Darwaza. Samih Darwaza was a very leading pioneer entrepreneur from Jordan. He studied at AUB in the 50s, 1950s, and he was very fond of AUB. He went to work in the US as a pharmacologist. He got a PhD in pharmacology, actually, from US. He studied pharmacology at AUB, and then he worked for Eli Lilly, which was at the time, I still is, a very leading pharmaceutical company. Then in 1977, he went back to Jordan, and he set up the Hikma pharmaceutical company with a small capital, almost less than $100,000. And basically that company grew quite a bit, so much so that in 2004, it was listed on London Stock Exchange. They did an IPO. And today it's actually a $2 billion revenue company. And it's one of the top three companies from the Middle East. The first one is actually from Israel. And then there are companies that are as large in India, but from the Middle East, the MENA region, basically Hikma is one of the leading companies. The family, but particularly Samih, was very interested in education. Mm-hmm. So he has a scholarship to his name at AUB, and he generally contributed quite a bit. He basically thought that education is the way out for a lot of us. And he realized for himself, and particularly for Palestinians, he's of Palestinian origin, very, very enlightened thinker. And so basically one of the things that he was keen on, he said, you know, private sector development is very important for us in the Middle East. So basically in 2011, he made a generous grant to AUB to set up this center to promote entrepreneurship and innovation in the business environment. Although he was a technical person, he actually saw that the business side is very important.
100%. And on that terms, like, what do you think we're lacking in the MENA region in terms of innovation, entrepreneurship, and the startup scene as well?
So I think, you know, first of all, I think we have to realize that in compared to, you know, it, this is all a question of what I call ecosystem, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you have worked, so I spent 22 years of my life myself. I'm originally from Iran. I just give you a 30-second version of this. So
yeah.
I'm originally from Iran. I studied in the UK undergraduate. Then I went to the US. I studied, I got my master's, MBA, and then a PhD in management from MIT. And then what I saw there was eye-opening in the sense that there are so many things available and people take for granted, where we come here and we like probably to emulate what they're doing, but it's not clear we can because so many of the pieces perhaps are missing. So yeah. One of those pieces is that education system, you know, kind of prepares you to go out there and try something on your own. I think our education system is not necessarily preparing us for that. That's one.
100%.
Second point that I feel like, in other words, it's okay to try and then fail and then restart again. That kind of thing in our culture is looked down on. You know, and the other thing is that it's okay for you to be able to, and I think this is actually even maybe more important. People value a specialization and it's not just money. In other words, it's okay for you to work for a company that, you know, is on the forefront of making a state-of-the-art water this system for toilets. People are proud of that.
Yeah.
And people, you know, and but in our part of the world, wow, you know, you don't want to work for 100%, a company that toilets.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think some of these things, I think, you know, both in our education system, but also in the ecosystem, the perspective is different. You know, what is valued by society.
That's so true. And it's the way you look at things. Like, I remember one day, I think Jeff Bezos, or I don't know, it's a story of he passed by someone who was a cleaner, works in NASA. And then he was like, what do you do here? He's like, I help to make a man reach to the moon. So it's all about how you think. He doesn't see himself as a cleaner, just working in NASA or whatever. And that's the kind of mindset that I think we should encourage in the Middle East and the MENA region.
By the way, that's an amazing story about moonshot. The notion of moonshot came about because of that. It's like we want to be proud of what we do, no matter what we do, but also it means that if you go home, let's say you tell your wife or your husband, I work for NASA and do this, it's okay, you have a role, you know, it's like, and yeah. That role is important. I feel this is part of it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, and we need that. Can you tell us more, please, about the Data for Good hackathon that you guys are doing? Because our listeners, for sure, will be very interested in this.
Right, so, thank you. I think that's actually a very good entree into some of the things that we do. So basically, we do a lot of hackathons. In general, hackathons are intense periods, usually a weekend. And the word originally came about when people basically, it's you know, dates back maybe 25 years, 30 years. Facebook, you know, LinkedIn used to do hackathons, you know, 25 years back, Google. It's basically a weekend. People get together and they do, you know, some intense programming to get something up and going. But then hackathon has become a more general activity where, you know, you get a set of people together, divide them into teams, and then they work on a problem area, not necessarily a problem, but a problem area. And then you help them by mentoring them, by assisting them to get what the solution to the problem is to a specific state so that it can be worked on later. So let's say if you're working on developing, I don't know, solutions for food crisis in Lebanon, which we have food security problem, you want to define one of those problems is a supply chain of getting, you know, we have very poor cold storage, getting the, you know, produce from the farms onto the shelf. So people can work on that, right? That's a general area, supply chain. So in this case, we actually thought that data for good is an area that we can get the minds of our young people kind of to focus on. And then because they get trained in analytics, business analytics and data science, we have actually a degree program in Master of Business in Data Analytics is actually it's a master's program. But bulk of what they focus on is business. So basically how to get the search engine of Google to, you know, pick up the AdWord, AdSense you have, or effectively, it's very private sector oriented. So what we decided actually maybe it's something useful to do is that shift the focus a little bit to public sector or things that are good, not just for profit. And the idea we talked around and then we got pointers that one of the key areas that data is direly missing is that the donors are very interested in contributing money to Lebanon and giving grants and soft loans, but they're very, very weary and worried about all kinds of waste that exist. So this basically was the idea. And then we were talking to our more or less ecosystem players, people from Red Cross, people from private sector consulting companies, and people who help in that arena. And basically they said, you know, the donors, i.e. people like World Bank, French aid agency, US aid agency, European aid agencies, European Union, all were worried about this.
Yeah.
So the idea came that, okay, why don't we focus on the value chain of this? What are the problems in the process of giving the aid all the way from, let's say, World Bank when it ends up to a farmer in a car? And then how can we make sure this is leak-proof or at least less leaky? So that if they allocate $100, fresh dollars, 99 or 90 or 80 gets to the farmer. It turns out this is not a trivial problem, right? This actually is. So then we basically put that program together and, you know, we recruited teams and we started working on that. I can talk more about that, but more or less, this is the motivation.
Yeah, but one question, how can people actually apply for such programs?
You mean to apply to be on the teams?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's basically this is primarily aimed at students. Okay. Now the way we advertise this, let's say 2 months in advance, 60 days usually. This is more or less common practice. You start advertising on social media. And then the objective is twofold. One is to get the youth involved actually in contributing, because this is something they can wrap their mind around. But more important, I think, or as important, but I think on the current environment, more important is we need hope. We need we need people to not get discouraged, because there is so much despair and discouragement. And I think the powers that be actually rely on that, in the sense that I feel like almost like apathy is their bread and butter. In other words, if the politicians, or at least the bad politicians, would not mind if people become, you know, have more apathy. So this actually generates energy. And it was amazing because, you know, even the mentors got excited. The mentors who were like helping, they got very excited. I mean, one of the mentors on the spot, the top prize was only $500, but on the spot when we were giving, he says, can I contribute another $500? Because we just give a token, you know, it's not really a big prize, but we want excitement. We want energy. We want to push forward. So your question was, how do you apply? So basically individual students apply, or teams, and you can be from AUB or from outside, but you need at least one AUB member. And then what we do is that we effectively put the teams together. either the teams come together and we basically give them a problem area to focus on. They can choose to solve another problem. In this case, we had three seed ideas, which is to help the farmers, to help the area of the explosion of the port of Beirut. And also the third area was to help with the general farming. So, you know, it was COVID, farming, and port of Beirut explosion. So these three areas they focused on to do, how do you improve the process of aid disbursement? And then two of them applied blockchain technology to highlight.
Nice.
So this is more foolproof, because blockchain mm-hmm. is a way to basically to authenticate
the future. Exactly. And you talked about something very important, Doctor, which is the energy. How can you maintain the high energy in such hard and challenging circumstances in Lebanon? Like, as you said, COVID, the crisis, like everything, even the food problems. So how can those people be excited to go into entrepreneurship or innovation in any other way?
You know, it's I don't think we have a magic formula, Hala. I think I see that as our mission. And I have to say, what we see as our mission is that every 2 to 3 months we want to have an activity, mm-hmm. and then we want people engaged. And I've been an optimist most of my life. Even when I go through crisis, I like to think that glasses are full, and if I put another.
Nice.
You know, it goes full, it fills up, as opposed to, oh, it's half full, it will go down and it will become, you know, empty very soon. So because of that, I feel like we will outlast this crisis. Okay, we may be, you know, weak and, you know, become, you know, some kind of desperate at times. We have to worry about electricity, we have to worry about gasoline, we have to worry yeah. about getting medicine, we have to worry about, you know, traffic jams, we have to worry about not having enough money to survive on. The exchange rate is now, I don't know, 17,000.
Yeah.
It's like ridiculous. But what I see is that we would outlast this for sure. And people of Lebanon has been through a lot through, mm-hmm. you know, 1950s. And I think we will outlast it. But we need to maintain the energy and also generate ideas so that later on they can be tapped into. Actually, that's why, we got recruitment from the people in the ecosystem, because they said, what a great idea, because this, for instance, the private sector company that worked with us, Inventus, they had pitched this idea to the World Bank and the European Union. And European Union was very excited last fall when they pitched it.
Nice.
And they were thinking, actually, that's what I found out, is they were thinking, how do we get people, you know, work on this? And you see, it's all about connecting the dots. And I feel like if we keep the energy going, I don't know, it will be next 2 months, next 6 months, it will happen. But the point is, we need to kind of work on it.
I just wanted to know, like, how did the crisis in Lebanon and even COVID and everything affect you and even the innovation and the startup scene in Lebanon in particular?
Well, I think everybody is affected.
100%, yeah.
I mean, and to varying degrees. I think the first thing was that more or less activities became online. It was a challenge. Most of us did not know how to deal with that. And I, frankly, because we are a very physical activity oriented entity. So, you know, we used to have these hackathons used to be in
yeah.
person, right? We used to have events, we invite speakers, and part of either be a hackathon or a session or training or all of this, because you're co-present in face-to-face, there is energy. So the first thing that I think we have to all admit is that we really, for a whole year, we were learning how to recreate this energy without being co-present with each other face-to-face. Even like this interview, right?
Yeah.
Very different online as opposed to in person. So, and I think all of us learned a lot, what could work, what doesn't work. So generally, I think I have to admit that for instance, one key activity that we do, which is called our demo day, for last year. We have an activity called, we give $10,000 prizes. We open it up to the whole university. Anybody can apply as long as you're an active student. No teachers can apply, but, and then you go through a boot camp and then you win two prizes, top two startup ideas, basically. These are, so we were not sure whether we can do that demo day. And finally, we ended up doing a demo day online. The demo day is a final jury where, you know, people, you kind of pitch your idea and you get the two prizes. So that's generally speaking that we suffered by moving online and then we adjusted. More importantly, I think the COVID revealed a lot of problems in the system in terms of unequal access to technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, we see it, for instance, even in the schools. People assume that all schools have equal access in terms of students. Access is not equal. So one of the key things that we had to kind of adjust and see is that, okay, how can we do things even in what we do at the university and beyond? So more or less, we became more aware of that. So we kind of tried to be, how do we make sure that's the case? So actually, for instance, we borrowed facilities at our Innovation Park, which is a kind of a physical entity. So we sent people there observing the social distancing. At least they can sit there, have computer access, have internet access. The third thing is our activities. Our activities, mm-hmm. more or less adjusted, is that we used to, for instance, anything could go. Like, you know, you are interested to make the next Uber, okay, you know, we allow that. But now we adjusted is that we actually give a push, or we, you know, try to get people to focus on local problems. And we said agriculture, supply chain, and also import substitution products, we give more attention to. And therefore, if you apply in those areas, we actually fast track you to enter the competition, even if the idea is, let's say, half baked, doesn't have to be fully baked for you to get in. So we had good, we have very good, you know, competencies. Competent people apply last year. And also generally the idea is export promotion as well. The ideas that generate fresh dollars. So for instance, one of the ideas was this, making this socio-emotional learning toy that was made by one of our graduates. It's a plush toy, cat, and then it helps families who have kids between ages of 2 and 5 to engage in the process of, you know, getting them to deal with. At the time it was only focused on the port explosion because kids were asking what happened, why did this thing pop and all of these things. But then it moved to families getting to get their kids, for instance, go to sleep, brush their teeth, do potty training. And it was amazing because actually the traction for this happened in Dubai. So this company is called, it's a startup called Darda Cats. Darda Cats basically comes from Dardashi. And it's, I don't know.
Dardashi, which is chat,
And so it actually, they sold 2,000 and then they're now in the process of really moving forward. So as an example of the fact that we focused and we said, okay, guys, make sure what you're doing is either focused on replacing imports or generating external cash, because we need to bring in fresh dollars. So this is an example of the types of things that we have had to tweak the process so that people don't just go do the thing that they used to do. Whether it be, you know, another delivery service or the delivery services are important, but we want to focus on these three areas, food security, you know, more or less import substitution and export promotion.
And that's amazing because honestly, like you're guaranteeing that those generations are literally going to take this country to another level, helping it literally raise and everything, especially after all the challenges. Any future plans for Darwaza Center?
Well, you know, we want to continue doing what we're doing. And then what we also see, I think before we got on the live session, we discussed this a little bit. We see as our mission not only helping startups, we see as our mission also really getting what I call unblocking or getting a small and medium enterprises that are stuck, getting unstuck and growing them. Why? Startups are very risky business. Survival mm-hmm. rate is very low. You know, it's like usually it's 10% and less. Actually, the real rate drops down to below 5% because if you really do the math, right? While if you already operating for the past 5 years, that means you pass that stage. So your survival rate goes up, but then you're stuck. Why are you stuck? You don't know how to hire people properly and managing yes. them. Why? Because you didn't study that in school, or otherwise you don't have enough people on the staff. Another one is, okay, I have a fresh juice business in Lebanon, and this fresh juice is doing very well. Now that I've exhausted all my sources of, let's say, fresh orange juice needs orange groves. I have contracted with all orange groves and I have got a maximum. Now I need to shift to Syria and bring oranges from Syria or bring oranges from Jordan. Okay, now, what do I do? Do I locate my next second plant in Jordan or Syria, or do I import? This growth know-how is very, very lacking among our small enterprises. Yeah. So I really think our secondary mission, or as equal of helping startups, is getting this sector really getting the attention it deserves. And also the other problem is that they don't have necessarily the money. If I go to, for instance, we do executive education for large companies, Aramex, Bank Audi, mm-hmm. I don't know, Hekma Farmers, Hekma Company, okay. Sire Group. There are all kinds of companies. These companies can afford, they have deep pockets, but the smaller companies don't have deep pockets. So we need to adjust the price of what we do and also do it something that it fits their problems. So this is actually the next area we're focusing on. We are rolling out the program on that. It's called the Growth Readiness Program for Small and Medium Enterprises. And we're trying to price it at a reasonable level. And we're actually trying to get help also from the donors, USAID and European Union. And we are very optimistic that in the next year or so, we would actually roll this out, because I think this is also the other area that we need to focus on, not just the startups and innovation.
And that's amazing, because as you said, most of us did not get this education, kind of education in school or universities. So what Darwaza Center is doing right now and in collaboration with AUB is truly amazing. And because everyone wants to be an entrepreneur right now, but do we have the experience? Do we have that? No, honestly. So that's much, much needed. So thank you so much for your efforts. We had with us today Dr. Bijan Azad from Darwaza Center from Lebanon. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it. And I wish all of you the fantastic period to come for all of us post-COVID.
Hopefully. شكرا كثير لكم لمتابعتكم. أنا بشوفكم بكرة بنفس الموعد. نهاركم سعيد جميعا.
شكرا جزيلا.